Good morning. Hello. Welcome to everyone watching, listening online, to everyone gathered here as well. So glad you got here early enough to get a seat. Today's attendance reminds me of the old preacher story. Preacher was getting ready to preach at a little country church, and there was bad weather, and only four people were able to make it to the church house that day. And they gathered there in that sanctuary and scattered around, and he preached to those four faithful people for 45 minutes. And afterwards, the cowboy who was there in attendance said to the preacher, he says, "You know, when I go out in the morning to feed my cows and only a few show up, I do not give them the whole load." And now you have no idea what I'm about to do you? Oh boy. Was that an apology or a preview? In Luke chapter 2, we know the chapter begins with the birth of Christ. We have been reading and rehearsing that story for days now. And then Luke moves very quickly after Jesus' birth to tell us a bit about what his parents did with the baby Jesus after he was born. He was dedicated. He was taken to the temple courts. He met some people named Simeon and Anna who saw great, great, great things in that baby's future. But then by the end of the chapter, we've moved on from the baby Jesus, and we have a story about the 12-year-old Jesus and his parents. Let's begin reading Luke chapter 2, verse 41. It says, "Every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him." Parents, if you've ever lost one of your kids. When Elijah was a little bitty guy, we lost him in an IKEA. For several excruciating minutes, we did not know where he was. And then a store employee found him, and they returned our boy to us, IKEA style, in a flat cardboard box. With no assembly instructions. We did our best, but I'm pretty sure we missed a few screws. Can you imagine how Joseph and Mary felt that entire day walking back to Jerusalem? A day. And then as we're about to see, they actually had to look for him 3 days. They found him after 3 days. He was missing. They did not know where he was for 3 days. They apparently did not have a pre-established rendezvous point, which is always a good idea, parents, to have with your kids, so that you say, "Hey, look, if we get separated, we're all going to meet back here at this spot, whether we're on the mountain, in the mall, doesn't matter. When we get separated, because we always do, we will meet back at this spot." Apparently, they didn't have one of those rendezvous points in Jerusalem. So they're looking for him. Now, I wonder what they were thinking about. What were they talking about during those 3 days? Do they remember when the angel had appeared to Mary and said, "You're going to become pregnant and you're going to give birth to God's son"? Did they think back to the night of his birth when the shepherds showed up because a choir of angels had announced the birth of the Lord? Did they play back in their minds what Simeon and Anna had said about that baby in the temple courts when they prophesied about all the great things this little baby would grow up to do for his people someday? Do you think maybe at some point they looked at each other and said, "God is going to be so mad when he finds out about this. We've lost God's son." And their son as well. For God had entrusted Jesus to them to raise. And they were desperate to find him. So we keep going with the story. Verse 46, it says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be about my father's business?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. They finally find him in Jerusalem. The last place they looked for him, that's where they found him. And he was in the temple courts, where he was dazzling the religious leaders and teachers with his precocious wisdom. But Mary is unimpressed by that. She rebukes her son. "Why would you do this to us? I don't care who your real dad is. We have been worried sick about you." And then the 12-year-old Jesus subtly rebukes his parents. He said, "Where all did you look for me? You didn't know where I would be? Where else could I be but here in the temple, getting into my father's work, attending to my father's business? Isn't this the obvious rendezvous point in Jerusalem?" And Luke tells us they really didn't understand what he was talking about. What is his father's business? They were just glad to have their son back, and so they take him home to Nazareth, where I'm sure they kept a closer eye on him. Joseph and Mary may have been the first to lose Jesus, but they're not the last. Truth is, people lose Jesus all the time. We head off in a direction, we're pursuing our agenda, and we assume that Jesus is going with us. Wherever we go, he's going to go. Whatever we do, he's going to do with us. Whatever we dream about, he's going to bless. And we assume Jesus is with us on our journey, and then we turn around and realize he's nowhere to be found. We left him behind somewhere. Or we get so distracted by religion, distracted by politics, by recreation, by business, by busyness. And when we finally do look up from our stuff, Jesus is missing. And we don't know where to find him. So what do you do when you lose Jesus? Well, if you lose the 12-year-old Jesus, you go looking for him in Jerusalem. If you lose the resurrected Jesus, don't worry. He'll come looking for you. Fast forward to Luke chapter 24, near the end of the Gospel of Luke. And once again, Jesus is missing. The tomb is empty. The resurrection has not yet been confirmed, and no one knows where Jesus' body is. He's missing. And once again, there are two people, two disciples outside of Jerusalem walking down the road to Emmaus. And they are heartbroken and confused because they lost Jesus 3 days earlier. 3 days, 3 days, 3 days earlier when he was crucified. And as they're walking down this road, a mysterious stranger joins them. And when they tell the stranger why they are so puzzled, the stranger rebukes them. In verse 25, this is what he says: "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Did you notice the similarity between those two rebukes? Go to this next slide. This is the 12-year-old Jesus' rebuke of his parents. Don't you know I had to be about my father's business? I had to. There was no other place I could be. There was nothing else I could be doing in Jerusalem. This is where I had to be. This is what I had to be doing. And then the resurrected Jesus says, don't you know that the Messiah had to? He had to suffer these things and then enter his glory. He had to be about his father's business, which was laying down his life for the sake of others. Didn't you know? How could you not see it? Didn't you know where to go? Didn't you know what to look for? It had to be this way. A few verses later, those two disciples finally do recognize the resurrected Jesus. It's when they're gathered around the table and Jesus plays the host and breaks the bread. And when he breaks the bread, they are reminded of how their hearts were burning while he was explaining the scriptures to them. And I suggest to you today that this story gives us a rendezvous point where we can go when we can't find Jesus, when we've lost sight of Jesus. And that rendezvous point is a gathering like this one where we open the scriptures and read them and explain them, and then where we gather around the table and break bread. That's where you go when you lose sight of Jesus. That's where you go when you can't find Jesus. If you've lost Jesus in the midst of the hustle and bustle of this season, you go back to the scriptures and to the table. He will meet you there. And when you lose sight of Jesus in the future because of the everyday grind of your life, or because you wander off assuming Jesus is following you when you're supposed to be following him, go back to the scriptures and to the table. And the risen Jesus will meet you there. And he will redirect our focus to the business of our Heavenly Father. We've opened the scriptures. Now let's gather around the table. And today, as we have done on occasion in the past, we will use a responsive reading to prepare our hearts and to give thanks before we receive the bread and the cup. So I'll read the leader part. You read the people part, and we'll read the unison parts all together. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this communion and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Take this and eat it in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Take this and drink it in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. And now let's close this time together at the table with this reading. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the communion of the body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord.